Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Mary Milton. And yes, it's getting closer.
Pride is right around the corner. So Freddie and Jane will be in live to tell us more about what's coming up in the events over the next few weeks. Well, we.
And Jamaican Pulse. Want to know more? Well, Ivan will be reporting for us coming up today.
Right here on Shout Out for next week. Week two. I think that's me just kind of like wishing Pride was more like 2 or 3 weeks long.
It's more than a week though this year.
It is, yes.
Starting already.
Yes. It starts today. Starting now.
Yeah.
Right now, I think.
That's what I mean, already.
Yeah. I can't remember what it is. It's on today, but we'll ask them when they come in.
Of course.
So, although you probably know, do you?
No, I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
I'll wait for the experts to tell us.
So, hello.
Good evening, everybody.
How are you?
How are we?
I'm good, yes.
Just had
you
a flash.
Survived the week.
Just had a flash. In
a flash? News flash, you mean?
Yeah, news flash. The Pentagon have announced that they're about to sign off the fact that transgender people can actually serve in the US services.
Wow, fab.
Wow.
Estimated, this was from Ivan Jackson, of course, from our shout-out reporter. 1.3 million active duty service members, an estimated 2,450 transgender.
Oh,
well,
funny.
I've asked Terry to have a look into that, so hopefully, if there's more news on that, we'll let you have it.
Cool. Thanks, Ivan, for getting that one to us.
But now, in other news, has anyone got any kind of idea what a pilling party is?
It's nothing to do with the referendum, is it?
No.
Okay, something else. Great.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad everyone survived the week and we can listen to something else now.
Yeah. It's been
well done, everybody.
It's been a bit of a week, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it hasn't ended yet.
No.
It's true.
True, yeah. Well, unless you're listening on the podcast on, like, Monday or something, it might...
Woo, made it to Monday. Yeah. Well done.
Woo, good weekend. But no, pinning party.
Pinning party?
Have you got any clue? Because no.
Hang on, let me line that. I've just sunk.
Is this okay, anything to do with history?
Well, it might be. It was.
And it would be here. Oh, our screens flickered, but they're back, so
good
you
Lord,
can hear it.
That was a bit worrying.
When
the computer goes offline and you can't see the bit you've got to kind of play, that's a little bit
we're back.
This is really bad for listeners at home that haven't got a clue what happened. The computer's just died, but they came back. It's fine. Right, pilling party. Have a listen to this.
I'm at the Multimedia Centre of Bristol University on Wooden Road, and I'm talking to Nate Eisenstadt today. Nate, hello, and thanks for joining me. Why are we here today?
We're here today, we're having a pinning party. We are pinning LGBT plus historical material to a new map layer, which is going to go on the council's Know Your Place site, and it's also going to be visible on the OutStories Bristol website and a new mobile app that we're developing specifically for this project to allow people to explore Bristol's LGBT plus history on the move.
And what kind of data are you actually dealing with?
There's all sorts of stuff. There's people's stories, there's extracts from oral history recordings that volunteers have recorded with LGBT residents of Bristol. There's historic newspaper articles dating back to the late 1700s. There's photos, there's posters, there's flyers, there's all sorts of stuff on there, basically audio material.
And all that data is going to be accessible by the public, is that right?
Yep, it's going to be completely accessible to the public via the website, via Know Your Place, and via the new mobile app.
But it's not live yet, is it?
It's not live. We are doing a private view, like a kind of pre-launch party, on Wednesday the 6th of July during Pride Week at Old Market Assembly. And then our official launch is going to be on Pride Day. So we're going to be doing a big kind of media campaign on that day, and hopefully a lot of people will be downloading the app and exploring Bristol's LGBT plus history as they're walking around on Pride Day.
And of course it's an ongoing project, because once the system has gone live, individuals will be able to contribute their memories themselves, won't they?
Absolutely, yeah. We're hoping that this lives on and on, really. It's going to be on the Know Your Place site kind of in perpetuity, and people will be able to add their stories, their memories, images, artifacts, well into the future.
And in the meantime, if they want to know more about the project, where should people go and have a look online?
Best place to go is OutStories website, which is outstoriesbristol.org.uk.
Thanks very much, Nate, and enjoy the rest of the day pinning stuff onto the internet.
Thanks so much.
Well, there you go. Now you know what a pinning party is.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they mentioned the app, because I discovered that by accident, actually.
Oh, did
the other
you?
Week I was searching for Bristol apps, and it popped up, and I thought, brilliant.
Oh, yeah. So have you pinned anything on it?
Not as yet, but I'm sure we've got plenty to pin here at Shout Out.
Yeah, well, it's nice, though, because an awful lot happens across our coverage.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
And that actual website is absolutely brilliant, because you can look at all sort of all aspects of history in Bristol, and it's great that the LGBT layer now exists on that as well.
Yeah, my favourite is there's a group on Facebook called Bristol Now and Then, and I believe there's certainly a Nailsy one and a Clevedon one. I don't know.
Oh, with the photographs.
Yeah, and you get people posting up photos from like anything up to 100 years ago, and then they'll go and take a photo of what it looks like now.
Well,
so you can see the difference.
The
really
Know
cool.
Your Place website has maps as well, so it goes even further back than that. So you can go and look at, for example, where you live, and then see what was there 100 years ago or 200 years ago. Then you can trace back, you know, before your house was built, what was there before.
I think a field in my case.
I think in probably a lot of cases a field, but maybe, you know, a little
Andy?
Village that then has been taken over by Bristol.
Funny that.
Yeah. So, anyway, now, talking of events, it's that time, love. So our shout, our pick of the events, we normally do Pride, but I'm guessing we're not doing our Pride because we've got them on the show, haven't we?
We're going to be doing Pride. First of all, I want to mention, if you are a Pride junkie and going across to France, the Paris one, which is this Saturday, it's actually been shortened and warnings of security issues. Now, it leaves the Louvre and goes down past the Île-de-France and ends up in the Place de la Bastille. Actually, like my French, I thought
really? I thought you were good.
Very well
the
done.
Louvre.
Yeah, this is my ancestry.
Well, you can get a new passport then, can't you?
You're a little bit French, aren't you? It's, yeah,
just a little bit. Yeah, a bit of Irish. And there's I'm a right mongrel.
You're a bit Heinz, are you? Heinz,
yes. Maybe not 57, but maybe a dozen or so.
Like 900.
Oh, wow. so it's being cut short. Now, the original march, as I said, starts at Lou. Now, it's a late march, actually. It's not until about 2:30. And it's supposed to go down past the Île-de-France and the Notre Dame. But it's going to be cut short. Now, I have no information about the new route. So just be aware, if you are on your way to Paris, that is, there's security fears and it is being cut short. Back to... more local things. Weston Supermare Pride.
Ooh, so, when's that?
So it's Bristol on Sea.
I don't think they'd like that.
That was an in Bristol joke.
Oh, right.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the main event is on the 30th, and it starts
June.
At Grove Park. No, July.
July.
Yeah, so it's after the Bristol one,
which
obviously starts this weekend. Actually, it's tonight,
starts
isn't it?
Yeah.
Starts tonight, yes.
Yeah, because we got the Gin Palace tonight. They're having a Pride opener with karaoke.
Uh-huh.
So that's in Old Market. Right. I'm sure all the rest of the events are going on also in Old Market. But back to Western Pride. It's going to be the biggest one ever, by the looks of it. They have actually got a parade as well, which starts at Knightstone Island. And I've never known why it's called Knightstone Island, because it looks to me like it's
why
not an island.
Why is it called Knightstone Island?
Why is it called Knightstone? You're going to tell me. You Googled it, haven't you?
No, I didn't. I thought you were going to say, but I looked it up and now I know. Do you still not know?
No, I didn't Google it. No. Oh. Maybe Western Pride could phone. Nigel, if you're listening, give us a call and tell us why it's called Knightstone Island. There's a Knightstone Causeway. Maybe the river runs through it. Maybe they've let the Bristol Channel run a little slither for drainage or something, so it's now an island.
guessing your mind.
I just think we've gone off on a tangent. What's the next event, Steph?
Now we're staying here a moment because Nikki French, Rich B, and Rosala are confirmed headliners, and on H&H we love, which is the show I do on two of the stations that we're listening at the moment. She's lovely. She's really pro LGBT, and she does a lot of camp stuff.
Who? Which one?
Nikki French.
Oh right, yes. Yeah. She was at Bristol Pride last year.
She was.
Yeah. Very funny.
Which is where we met her. Yes. Mm. Hello, Nikki, if you're listening. And Rich B and Rosala. Now, there's a lot of other acts, too numerous to mention. They've even got an acoustic tent. They've got great sponsorship this year from GWR and a bunch of other people. There's also an after party, and that's being done at Club Taboo. I've not actually been to Taboo myself. Have you two?
No, I've not
Taboo?
Indulged.
No, maybe we should get down there and indulge. So 12 o'clock, Knightston Island. We'll start the march from there. Knightstone Island, and the walk and dance along the seafront and down the high street, ending the party in the park.
Cool.
Accompanied by the Bristol Samba Band, so we're loaning something to them.
They've got something borrowed.
Okay, yes, yeah, we have a rent band going there.
Rosala's at Bristol Pride too, but we won't mention that.
Of course not.
I'm sure it'll get mentioned a lot later.
Now, I'm not going to mention Bristol Pride because a lot's going to be said about that later on.
Cool.
Okay.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Steph.
Hi, this is Jade Adams, and you're listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a Little Boots and a Remedy. There might be a slight reason why I'm playing them.
Do you think?
Yeah. So, I like them. I hadn't really listened to their music that much, and I went researching because I wanted to make sure that we kind of played some of the stuff that you might be hearing on the day at Pride, so... And I really like it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, very bouncy, lovely, happy. We like that, don't we?
Yeah. I take it you two like Little Boots. Are you both Little Boots fans?
Yeah, I'd love to for years.
Don't mind a little boogie to Little Boots.
Have a little boogie.
So, and anyway, we're talking about Pride today, and we're very kindly joined by Freddie's come back to join us, Flashing Freddie today as well, if you saw him out earlier.
Getting ready for the after party, so I've got my flashing lights on. It'll be illumination at the O2 Academy this year, so we'll be hawking tickets for the next week, so... Do buy them before they sell out.
And if you see a flashing man coming towards you, it's Freddie!
He
loves his new status.
Yeah. And of course, Jane's back, our film buff.
Boom.
Yeah. How did it go this year? Because you always watch hundreds and hundreds of them, don't you?
I did go through quite a few this year. We've got some real corkers for you that have done really well in other festivals. We've got a nice, on our opening night, Scrum, which is a really, really well-made documentary and a lot more fun than a lot of other documentaries. But we have got the lovely Pierce, who appears in the film as a guest, and he's very, very lovely man.
Yes.
And we've also got our own Bisons. So it's a really nice start to the festival with Scrum. And
about rugby, which I guess is a lot of people will realise from the name.
Yeah, it's great. We've got Bisons involved, so the Bristol Bisons are involved, and they're having a training day, and I think they're having a barbecue as well.
And probably a few beers, I would imagine.
Probably a few beers, and it just so happens that we've arranged a big party afterwards. So,
none of them will stay for that.
I know. So I mean, if really, rugby's not your thing, you should. There's going to be some fit boys down there.
They'll be in their uniforms.
They will. So if you keep your ticket stubs from the cinema, you can get into the Queen Shillin for just £4, and of course that some of that money will go towards Pride. And from 10 o'clock that is, but so it's on Saturday, the film at 6 o'clock.
Well, and that's at the Watershed, isn't it?
It is at the Watershed. Everything's at the Watershed. And of course we happen to have a drinks promotion on for the whole of the film festival. How's that?
So, you wouldn't have thought gay people would be interested in a drinks promotion, would
little,
you?
Little bit.
How did you convince someone to do that?
I don't know. 6 o'clock gin. 20% off 6 o'clock gin for the entire festival. I don't know whether that's got anything to do with that's who Darren Carter works for.
I couldn't comment.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Being someone who really likes his gin, I have tried 6 o'clock at the Gin Palace, because, of course, Joe's got in a whole load of them now, and 6 o'clock is one of them, and it is a really nice gin.
It's very, it's, very it's, smooth.
Yes, very yes. Smooth, a bit too smooth if you have too many. So Film Festival's back, and bigger than ever, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it? It's starting to get a real name for itself across the UK as well, isn't it?
We're doing all right. And I think the work that I've been doing to set up the Queer Film Network, and so we're able to share more films and everything, and support other film festivals. So Pride's at the forefront of supporting other LGBTQIA festivals across the whole of the country, Scotland and Ireland. So we're staying working together despite what's happening in the wider world. it's been great to be travelling around a lot of festivals I did last year to meet people and also to pick up some of these films. And
do you really enjoy that? Is that a real perk of what you're doing?
It can be. I mean, it's a lot of travel, and normally there's panels and things like that, so there's a lot of prep. So it's very work orientated in a way.
I wasn't implying you were just having a great time and it was all a jolly, but
but the kind of the work side of it is quite prevalent because to go to a festival and not come back with good films, not to spend that amount of time researching the films and watching the films, would be bad and a waste. But the great thing about it, apart from being able to sit there and be transformed by these films, is to meet the filmmakers. That's the great bit. The people that are making the films, where they're coming from, what their ideas, because the Q&A, sometimes people stay around for a Q&A after a film and sometimes people shoot off, but the Q&A really gives you an in-depth look and understanding to the film that really adds to the film. And so when you go to the festivals and do that, you get this extra kind of rich bit of stuff. You get some nice anecdotes and everything, and it really adds to the experience, and that's the bit I like.
I agree. I've been to those sort of things, and I can't understand when people don't stay for that opportunity of a Q&A to because it enriches the film experience for me.
Really does, even if you're not going to ask the questions, just to hear, and also to get a bit more personality and understanding of either the director or someone who's been in the film or the producer. Yeah, it's very interesting, and it kind of adds to it, I think.
And it's fantastic that you're able to offer that Pride as well occasionally. You know, when you're able to do that for some of the films you show, it's fantastic.
Yeah, we're lucky because, of course, Scrum was shot on the other side of the world, but Piers happens to be Irish, and he'd moved to London. It means that we can afford to bring him over, and he's being kindly hosted by our wonderful Steve, who's part of the Queer Vision team. So, you know, people help to make
it
happen.
Possible.
They volunteer. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well worth going along to. But it's not the only film on, of course. We're talking about Scrum. There's a whole lineup of them, isn't there, that you've got going throughout the week. What are the other? We probably can't talk about them all because we need to talk about the.
There's one
the
that
rest
stands
of it,
out for
there
me.
Any others
that's just got the most amazing title. That's on Sunday. It's called Dyke Hard. Tell me about that.
Dyke Hard.
We want to know.
Dyke Hard is a fantastic film of great humour, and it's directed by a woman called Bitter Anderson, who's Swedish, and she actually was a comic book illustrator previously, never made a film. One day sat around the table having a cup of tea with her friends, and they were talking about films and talking about the types of films they love, the genre of the films. And then they're like, oh, I like road movies, I love B-sci-fis. And the conversation grew, and they said, why don't we make a film with all our favourite genres in it? So it's just packed. That's why it's a musical, it's a B-movie, it's horror, it's sci-fi, it's a road movie, and it's wonderfully dubbed, and so that adds to this B-movie experience. And it's just absolutely bonkers. And
it says here it's got cyborgs and ghosts, a gang of roller derby girls, ninjas, and an evil billionaire in it.
Straight away.
Yeah, and I have to say, there's also a prison dance scene, and there's dykes on bikes, so I don't think you can really ask for more.
Haven't missed many people out there.
They haven't, no, at all. And that's one of the things. The Swedish government film board backed this film and put a lot of money into post-production. There was a massive upcry about that that happened in Sweden, because it was an LGBT film, and because of the kind of nature of it, slightly tongue-in-cheek, they were very unhappy about it. But the new president of the film board said, this is diverse, this is interesting, this is doing something new, it's working with people, and I'm putting our money in it, and this is the kind of thing I want. And it really sent out a message to the kind of filmmaking that they were looking for. So it's been a very powerful film within Europe.
Now, of course, some of the other big favourites are back as well, aren't they?
They are, but I just wanted to talk about one film very, very quickly. I know we're pushed for time. It's called Peace of Mind.
All right.
And it's on the Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. So if you're in the mood for a double bill, really do go. But this film is a beautiful film, and it is about this activist who went out to Haiti, who unfortunately in the earthquake did die. But the legacy of this trans artist is amazing. And there is a place now in Haiti called Hope House, which is a safe house for LGBT people who have been made homeless or victimised for their sexuality, to be safe and to have mentoring. And we are. And
so
we,
it's a true story, is it?
It is. Yes, right. It's absolutely. And we are. Queer Vision are supporting Hope House this year, because what it takes to run Hope House for a year for us is negligible money-wise. So we will be raising money to try and help Hope House keep going this year. So I do implore people to come along to see Peace of Mind, because it is beautifully shot. It is very moving, but it's also uniquely interesting that this white trans person activist ends up working with a lot of black artists on this island. The dynamic is very interesting and shows how powerful and how positive being trans can be. And so I really do recommend this film.
What a great lineup. Fantastic.
Cool. Yeah, and there's loads more. Do check it out. We'll give you the links at the end. But now some of the other favourites are back as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Your one that started a couple of years ago just as a kind of... Well, it was a small event originally.
About
1,000 dogs turned up to, as I recall, wasn't it?
Maybe not quite 1,000, but a lot of dogs. Yeah, so our dog show is back on Saturday.
Including Puggiest Pug.
Yes, so we've got our new round this year, the Puggiest Pug. So bring your pugs. I might accept French bulldogs if they think they can compete with the pugs. But yeah, no, so that's going to be in Castle Park this year.
Oh, is it? All right, so it's moving.
It's standing alone. It was so popular.
Exactly,
basically, we've had to make it an own event instead of being on the Sunday special.
Yeah, so that'll be kicking off about 12:30. We'll be down there. We've got Hollyhedge Animal Sanctuary coming along to talk about the great work they do and to try and get you to adopt a new pet.
That you can then enter for the show following year.
Yeah, bring it along the next year, and if enough of you adopt them, maybe we'll have a special round for that. But we do have a rescue dog round.
Great idea.
Yeah, there we go. That's in the programme for next year already. That's just so popular. It's so cute. It's so much fun, and just a great chance for you to bring your furry friends along who do get to come to Pride, but it's not the best environment for them at Pride, so it's nice to give them their own event a week before.
Yeah, but my little doggy didn't like it at Pride. There were too many people.
Yeah, it's just too busy.
It's a bit loud, isn't it?
Yeah. And of course, the other one that's been a firm favourite since day one is the comedy night as well, which it's got a fantastic lineup this year.
Yeah, the comedy.
You've got Jade Adams and Hannah Brackenbury, I have to admit, I've seen. I thought we saw her at your wedding,
didn't we?
Yeah. She was hilarious.
Yeah, no, we're so excited to have her there. She's just going to be... I could say every single one of them.
They
are very,
really
very
good.
Funny.
Yeah.
She was a finalist in the Musical Comedy Awards this year, Hannah Brackenbury, as well. She's got a new album out, so
we will be playing some selections from that.
That'd be wonderful.
One of the other ones we want to... Sorry, I know I'm hurrying. It's because I can see we're...
Just by the way, Jade Adams is absolutely off the chart amazing, by the way. So really, really is not a night to be missed. So get your tickets because they're selling fast.
Always sells out the comedy night, doesn't it? It's extremely popular.
Always standing room only last year. We expect the same this year.
Now, just to cover off some of the things that we get questions about. Obviously, we're moving venues, which we talked about several times on the show, down to the amphitheatre, all the way up into Millennium Square as well. But the march is very much on this year, but it's almost a backwards route, isn't
it? Yeah, so if you were in it last year, you'll probably recognise the route as almost being entirely reversed. So we're going from Castle Park this year. So we're starting off in our old home, sort of, I guess it's like a passing of the baton and going round.
That works, doesn't it?
Very symbolic, yeah. So going from Castle Park, that's gathering... from about 10:30. It'll be leaving at 11:00, so make sure you're there.
Yeah, don't be late because
because we'll
otherwise
leave
main
you.
Stage will run late. So yeah. We just
and if main stage runs
Jane
late, Jane gets
cross.
Angry. Yeah, it'll go round Cabot Circus and then it'll end up going through the centre. We'll see how the roadworks are doing, but we'll go through there and then we'll end up at Millennium Square. So. Yeah, from the old home to the new.
It is fantastic that in Bristol is not so big that you can't go on the march and then appreciate all of Pride as well. I was in London last week at London Pride, and there you can't do both. You know, you are either on the march or you're in Trafalgar Square watching acts. You can't really do both. So it's great.
The other thing that's wonderful is it's still one of the few that is technically free, although obviously we are asking for donations this year, aren't we?
We're always asking for donations, yeah. And some bigger businesses have donated to be in the parade, so they'll support to make it happen because it does cost us money, but we don't want anyone to feel that they can't come along to the parade because they have to pay to be in it. That just seems ridiculous to us, so...
Yeah.
Just come along and enjoy.
And I think I would urge people to get there in good time this year because in light of the events that have happened in Orlando, I think a lot of people who thought that maybe Pride wasn't quite so relevant or wasn't political or wasn't needed, I think a lot of people have decided that actually it's very, very important to come out this year. So I think
it's probably going to make the march a lot bigger as well. Yeah,
that's what
it?
I'm saying. So, yeah. To get to the march site bigger because I do think that there'll be more people and to show your solidarity.
I think to show our presence at the moment is particularly important.
Absolutely, absolutely. It always is, and I think it's nice that we, in some ways, that we do forget and we feel comfortable and everything like that. But when things like incidents in Orlando have happened, it reminds us that we must stay vigilant and we must be at the forefront of creating a safe place for us all.
Ironically, it's still one of the few times of the year I feel very comfortable holding the other half's hand in public.
Absolutely.
Which is mad this day and age, but some of us still feel that way.
Yeah.
Me included. Anyway, it's lovely to catch up with you both, especially considering we are so close to it and you're racing around doing everything.
We appreciate it.
It's really
very
nice
much,
to come in.
Yeah.
All the lineup, we did speak about the lineup on the main day and the evening party to Darren last week, but all the events are up on bristolpride.co.uk and they're in the magazine.
In the program
that's dotted around everywhere, so do check them out.
The tickets are on sale for wristbands and everything. You can get everything via the
Bristol Ticket Shop. So you can get all the tickets for the comedy day at Bristol Ticket Shop and for our theatre from the Wardrobe Theatre.
And Watershed is selling all the tickets for the cinema. So I get your tickets, turn up, support, enjoy, have a fabulous time, and we'll see you there.
Tune in to BCFM all day long because we will be broadcasting everything, so you'll be able to find out everything that's going on. But have a great Pride. And thank you so much for coming in. We'll catch you soon.
Thanks for inviting us. Take care.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Lisa Stansfield and all around the world. Obviously, she's headlining at Pride, so hence why we thought we'd play it on the show. But news team are here, so let's get some news headlines.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 30th of June. And in breaking news, the Washington Post has reported that the United States government are to lift the ban on transgender people serving in the US military. As mentioned earlier, Defense Secretary Ashton B. Carter has made his support for equality clear.
Anti-racist charities and anti-fascist campaigns groups have appealed for unity against hate crimes after the fallout from the English vote to secede from the European Union. According to both the Bristol Post and B24/7, the local hate crime charity SARI have reported a spike of around 60% in the hate incidents occurring in the Greater Bristol area since the vote for breakfast last Thursday. However, this is only the reported figure. The unreported number is expected to be much higher. Nationally, anti-racist groups have reported a jump in the hate crimes of around 57%, according to The Guardian. The Irish Post community paper says that the Irish people in Britain are also experiencing more hate crime, whilst Gay Star News reported that a mob went chanting through Covent Garden that first they would deport the Polish people and then they would come for the gays. Analysts say that although there were many progressive people who voted to leave the EU, including around 40% of the gay and trans communities. The surprise result is suddenly embodied racists and reinvigorated hate groups who have been in decline for years. At the same time, campaigning organisations are inviting people to join them to fight intolerance and hate crime.
Meanwhile, the Conservative MP for North Somerset, Liam Fox, has thrown his hat into the ring for possible leadership of the Conservative Party as the two main political parties continue to argue over future direction in the wake of Brexit. However, Fox has been sharply criticised by journalists at the gay newswire Pink News, who reveal that he voted against gay adoption rights and marriage equality. Mr Fox, who ironically was once accused by the tabloid newspapers of an improper relationship with a male political aide, said at the time that he had gay friends who were in civil partnerships but who did not want marriage.
Dominic Lawson, the brother and television chef Nigelian and son of former Conservative Chancellor of the Exchequer, has written in the Daily Mail newspaper that equal marriage is one of the reasons why the traditional Tory party Heartland published punished David Cameron in the Brexit vote. Mr Lawson, who himself supported marriage equality, said that he had seen the UK Independent Party leader Nigel Farage crowing about the Conservative Party's alienation of its grassroots activists when the Prime Minister introduced marriage equality. However, the Independents says that a majority survey from the National Centre of Social Research concluded that it was the economic and work factors that pushed people into opposing the EU rather than anything to do with the LGBT people directly.
You may think that the debates over marriage equality divided opinion in Western Europe, but in Tajikistan, a Central Asian republic formerly part of the Soviet Union, the populace is fiercely divided over a new ban on consanguineous heterosexual marriages. This means that from tomorrow, Tajik people will no longer be able to marry their first cousins, something that has traditionally been not only permitted, but celebrated in the state. According to a report on Radio Free Europe, Tajik people have been rushing to formalise their weddings before the new ban takes effect, whereas traditionally it was the autumn months that were the time for marriage. Now, the population has been hotly debating the issue in newspapers and in social media and remains bitterly divided.
And finally, Pride in London took place on Saturday with a message of unity and peace towards all communities in the capital, and with Major Sadiq Khan taking part. Time Out magazine reports that wedding bells are in the ear for two gay couples in the Metropolitan Police Force. PC Sam Philpott was the first to pop the question to fellow Bobby and boyfriend PC Martin Cullahan in front of cheering crowds, and the moment PC Phil Adlam broke ranks and got down on one knee in front of his new fiancée, Jonathan Sammons, was captured on film and has gone viral on the net. Congratulations to all from all of us.
Yes, congratulations indeed. For these news stories and many more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Tara.
And Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Hello, I'm Dolly Rocket. A big shout out to Shout Out. Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Rosala. Everybody's free. You remember that too, do you?
Oh, I do.
So now I'm going to hand over to Ivan here now, who's going to talk about nice in a roundabout way. This is all about Jamaican Pulse, so have a listen.
Lovely.
Now, I'm here at the Royal West of England Academy in Bristol for the launch of a very special exhibition, Jamaican Pulse. And with me right now is the director of the Academy, Alison Bevan. Alison, hello.
Hello, Ivan.
Now, before we talk about Jamaican Pulse, tell me a little bit about the Academy.
The Royal West of England Academy, RWA for short, is Bristol's oldest art gallery, founded by the artists of Bristol and for the artists of Bristol. And we are a completely independent charity, so we stand on our own two feet, but we put on shows that we hope that people will want to come and see and come and enjoy.
You've overseen lots of different exhibitions during your tenure here, which have been fantastic, but today's is rather special, isn't it? Jamaican Pulse. Tell me about that.
This is the most ambitious show we have ever staged. It's received one of the largest grants from the Arts Council that they've ever given to a single exhibition. to fly works and artists, not only from Jamaica, but from America and all over the place, to come and show their work here in Bristol. And of course, the links between Bristol and Jamaica are, you know, so important and so historic. And everybody knows the impact that Jamaica and Bristol have had on the music scene, but not particularly what Jamaica and Bristol have done on the art scene.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Alison. I'm here now with one of the artists, Lawrence Graham Brown. Lawrence, tell me about your work here today.
Well, first, I'm an artist born and raised in Jamaica. I would consider myself as an artist, but also a producer of experiences that incorporates the senses through visual art and sculptures and paintings and performance. I came to America in, 1998, actually, yes. I went to America to live, practice my art between New Jersey and New York City, and I show, first time showing in Bristol, so I like to do live art also, and I incorporate that into my work, using, you know, other art, other actors, other assistants, as extension of myself and my ideas. Placed in various, doing various things, pretty much an extension of myself.
The script that you make is actually art itself, isn't it? Before you even get onto the dance floor or with or associate with musicians, etc.
Right, the work actually started through visual art and text-based work. So I start with writing ideas down, and from there it develops into painting, books, sculptures, poetry, drawing, and it goes on to performance art, experimental theatre.
And you identify as a gay man,
yes,
don't you? And that obviously comes out in your dance and in your work as well.
Of course, and not just gay, but through using the body also as a sort of means and a format to speak about race and sexuality, and not necessarily just gay, but various kinds of sexuality and sex, and dealing with those issues, race and the church, and the politics of all of those combined.
Now, you have exhibited in Jamaica yourself, haven't
yes.
you? Now, most people are aware that Jamaica isn't exactly the friendliest country when it comes
not
towards
at all, not at
culture,
all.
Towards the LGBT community.
Not
How well did your work go down there?
The first day I showed in Jamaica, which was a Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning, I think it was like just like 10 people came to the show. And this was before the internet. This was 1995. And then on Monday, I went to the University of the West Indies, the Creative Arts Center. And then all of a sudden, I noticed that the place was packed. So I've never been to the university, so I thought this was like normal. And then I just saw people coming in and coming in and coming in, and like hundreds of people just coming in. And then they started, they just stood there. The secretary told me that I was a reason for all of this, all these people coming into the center. So, I mean, I didn't know, you know, I didn't understand the response. Then the next day, more people came, and then they started destroying the art. They destroyed the art, and after they destroyed the art, then they started looking for the artist.
You must have been in quite fear for your life.
Of course.
So you must find that having moved to the United States must have been quite a liberation for you.
It is, and of course the work has developed more into performances, and more self-expression and just more liberating, you know? And the work being supported also by various folks and institutions, because in Jamaica, you know, folks who would support the work would not want to be even known that they support the work, you know? Even artists who work with me would not tell anybody that they work with me.
And now, of course, you're exhibiting in Bristol. You're happy with that, I guess.
I'm very happy, yes, especially at the Royal Academy, right?
Fantastic. And Lawrence yes. Graham-Brown, thanks so much for talking to me today.
My pleasure.
Okay, so now I'm with Marvin Rees, Mayor of Bristol. Marvin, what are you making of Jamaican Pulse this evening?
Oh, I love it. Just saying to some of the exhibitors, it's so nice to have Jamaican culture, Jamaican art up the hill, overcoming some of those historical divides and separations in the city, and to be with so many Jamaicans in this building. It's fantastic.
It's also a coup for the city, isn't it? Because this is a one-off first exhibition.
It is. It's about celebrating the fullness of Bristol's identity, and that Jamaican heritage is a huge part of what Bristol is today.
Well, let me ask you about identity, because obviously the art on the walls deals with politics, sexuality, gender.
I spoke to one of the artists earlier on today, and he said his work was actually burnt and destroyed in Jamaica when he was based there. He's now based in the US. You're going to be at Bristol Pride, stood in front of probably what will be your largest live audience yet since you've been mayor. What would you say to those people in that audience who are of BME descent or either are in the audience or feel they can't even come to Pride because they're worried about the way their friends, family and associates will react?
Well, I'd be very careful because I can never claim to have been in, walked in their shoes. What I would say is be proud. You know, I would say that you have friends and you're not alone. And there are people around the world who believe in true human equality and who believe that we should all have relationships with dignity. And you should be able to live out the fullness of your character. We don't have that world universally at the moment. Clearly we don't. Discrimination happens from overt physical hostility and violence to the subtle discrimination of economic exclusion. But there are those of us who care and those of whom will work for it. And you have allies.
Marvin Rees, thanks very much. And we look forward to seeing you at Pride.
Thank you very much. Look forward to it.
And a reminder that you can see Jamaican Pulse, the exhibition at the Royal West of England Academy, right up until September the 11th.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm Mr. V.
And we're from JSMV, and you're listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. You don't.
That's Bright Light, Bright Light, and Good Luck. I really like that song. It's really nice. So, of course, they will be at the after party at Illumination.
Ooh, they will.
Far too old to be going to these days.
Will you, though? Will you? You will.
I won't. I genuinely won't. I've wanted to do the after party every single year we've done Pride, but by the time you've like done everything it takes for us to broadcast, I think I'll get to the end of that. I'm like, no, I'm going to the Bear Bar for a pint.
It always seems like a good idea, doesn't it? And yeah. We never quite make it. Maybe Tara will make it this year.
Ooh, there's an idea.
A bit of a party animal. So they've got three different rooms, I think, haven't they? Actually, he says with a programme in front of him. It's in here. Yeah.
I believe
there you go. They've got the main arena, and then they've got room two, which is Skylights, and room three, which is Love Shines. So they got a Fleetwood Mac tribute going on as well.
Yeah, there's Hush as
Fleet
well.
Fleetwood Mac Wood, I think they're called.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's and a glitter booth.
Oh, there's got to be a glitter.
I like that. That's cool. So I'm really looking forward to Pride.
Yeah, it's going to be great, isn't it? I think they've got a good smattering, more than a smattering of events going on over the week.
I tell you, I don't know how they pull it off. I really don't.
It's burst out of the week, hasn't it, this time as well? You know, even tonight. I gather there's an engineering event on tonight, which Natalie is at.
Yeah. Oh, right.
At University of Bristol.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, a bit of everything.
Yes.
So you're taking your little doggy down to the dog show this
year? No, bless her. She's like 14 years old now. And it's got to the point
where...
Has
she retired from active competition? Is that what you're saying?
She's retired from being active, I think. I mean, bless it. It used to be a case of, like, you get home and you walk through the door and she'd already heard the car pull up on the drive. She'd come racing down to see you. Now, these days, I get into the house, I can get all the way upstairs and I make her jump because she wakes up when she sees me just right above her.
Bless her.
Do you know, cats are a lot more lazy. They come in and then they meow to find out where you are.
Oh, do they?
So you have to, I'm here, you know, because they're not going to go looking around all the rooms for you until they're certain they're going to find somebody.
Do they seriously do that?
Well, that's what ours do. Coming out.
Our dog is very Pavlovian. She knows when like she's going to get treats and when it's dinner time and all that, and just bounces up and down. And then when she's had it, she's like, right, I've had enough, I'm off to bed, bye, and you don't see her for the rest of the day. Yes. So, but I have to admit, the dog show is one of the most fun things I've ever done with Pride. So if you do want to, go along, because it is a really, really good day.
Sure.
So, and it's at Castle Park show. As well. Park,
yeah.
Yeah. Have you Hopefully got a dog? You haven't got a dog, have you?
I haven't got a dog, no.
You got
I have
three.
A partner.
I've got three.
Tara's got three. Are you going to enter them?
No, I'm Saturday's busy this year, but I tell you what, next year I will. Yeah.
So it's this Saturday, though. It's not next Saturday.
I'm busy every Saturday until mid-July.
No, I don't know. These ladies that do it.
Well, someone's got to keep the world going around. Yeah.
That's the thing. We can't all be celebrating Pride.
No. I'm studying in college.
I hadn't thought about that, though. Jane does make a very good comment that with everything that's happened with things like Orlando, it could be an awful lot busier this year.
Yeah, and keeping our equality. As well, with all the uncertainty.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Let's hope Bristol's out there.
And a new mayor this year, I'm sure we'll interview him as well.
I think he's going to be there, isn't
well,
he?
Well, we've already had him on the show. He was in that Jamaica Pulse piece, which of course you were gripped by, Andy.
Yes.
I was listening. He was in that. He spoke very well as well. Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Don't forget to go get your supporter wristbands for Pride and tune in to Shout Out live throughout the day.
Yeah, we'll be back next week just before that main day, and I'm sure we have lots more news then.
Until then, though, do check us out online, shoutoutradio.lgbt. But from myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.